AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News, I'm Jackie Quinn. There's new information about the alleged gunman who killed six people at a Southeast Virginia Walmart store. Authorities say 31-year-old Andre Bing bought the gun that was used just hours before the shooting, and he left a note with grievances. He died of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. Earlier this week, worker Brianna Taylor said Bing had grudges.
Everybody did have an issue with, so when I came in, it was, okay, well, that's the manager to look out for. You know, he has issues.
On this Black Friday, the markdowns are big, but the lines are not all that long. Retail analysts say the holiday bargains were rolled out weeks ago, so the Black Friday events don't have as much impact as they used to, and inflation could take a big bite out of this year's holiday buying. The head of NATO is urging allied nations to continue providing air defense systems and other weapons to Ukraine. He notes this winter will be a tough one for the war-ravaged country.
Allies are providing unprecedented military support, and I expect foreign ministers will also agree to step up non-lethal support.
Jens Stoltenberg spoke ahead of a meeting of foreign ministers in Romania. Authorities in Germany are reviewing security measures at the main airport in Berlin after six climate activists disrupted flights, pinning themselves to the ground near the runway. The group Uprising of the Last Generation says it wanted to protest against fossil fuel subsidies. Criminal charges have been filed against seven Michigan State football players, stemming from a brawl in Michigan Stadium's tunnel last month. Kari Crump faces the most serious charge, felonious assault, after two rival team members were roughed up. The U.S. team plays tonight in World Cup soccer. They face England, which defeated Iran 6-2. This is AP News.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. It's true, for the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is obviously huge for a lot of people. But what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate when compared to health insurance. Double. There are 400,000 members now. They've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yeah, they can handle your bills, too. And here's the thing. If you join MediShare Complete right now, before November 30th, they will waive your new member fee. So you're going to save even more. MediShare is the gold standard in healthcare sharing. And joining right now makes a lot of sense. Again, pay no new member fees if you join now. And start enjoying great savings and a great way to handle your health care. Call now, 844-94-BIBLE. That's 844-94-BIBLE, 844.
Who doesn't love laser tag? iCombat gives you that and so much more. It's a real-life video game experience. iCombat's perfect for birthday parties, special events, corporate team building, or just blasting away at your friends. iCombat at 1023 Spring City Drive off Sunset. For more info, go to iCombatWaukesha.com. iCombat is a proud sponsor of the Blackshirt Football radio broadcast. Gear up, squad up, prepare for iCombat laser tag.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from...
Pacific Media. I'm Jane Matnier with your headlines. Wild turkeys are back in Wisconsin in a big way. WPR reporting that more than a century after Wisconsin's wild turkey population was nearly decimated, now the birds are flourishing, with many flocking to urban and suburban areas. By the late 1800s, most of Wisconsin's wild turkeys had been wiped out due to unregulated hunting and the destruction of their former habitats by the timber industry. Early efforts to restore the birds to those habitats were unsuccessful, partly because officials were trying to send birds raised in captivity out into the wild. Then in the 70s, Wisconsin's DNR negotiated a deal with Missouri's Department of Conservation to exchange ruffed grouse from Wisconsin for wild eastern turkeys from Missouri. Once they took hold here, the DNR began trapping some of the birds and relocating them to other areas of Wisconsin where conditions were right for them to thrive. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
You are listening to pre-recorded content on Devil Radio. To see our station's entire live lineup, check out devilradio927.com.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams, my co-host. You know, Sandy, you're an attorney, and the legalese that happens in this country that moves everything, and yet we, the citizens, for the most part, don't understand the legalese that runs our country, right? And business and everything is, at the root of it is, you know, in this understanding of what's written, what's protected. You know, we are kind of like sacrificial lambs. We do things as the citizenry, and we think that we're protected in the things that we do. And sometimes, and you know, we take out loans and we take out things and we trust because we don't know. But there's always this penalty that we pay because we don't understand the law the way it's written. And so businesses, in many instances, are able to take advantage of the citizens, because the citizens don't understand the legalese of contracts and all those things. Is it safe to say that?
Well, I do think that that people, you know, even sophisticated people get. We can talk about it a little later, but this FTX, this big exchange that carried crypto and had this young fellow who's got a billionaire and suddenly is taking everyone down with him. But you're right. Tom, Dick, and Mary, in the complexities of homeownership and first mortgages and second mortgages and monitoring the debt and understanding who has a mortgage on their house, what might happen to them, all of that stuff can be more complicated than people think, and it can bite them in the bottom at some point by, you know, rear its ugly head after years and surprise them with some big problems.
So this is called zombie debt, and it's homeowners who face foreclosure from old mortgages. They may have taken out a second mortgage, Sandy, and thought that was rolled into their original mortgage, mm-hmm. and did not know that they hadn't been paying on the second mortgage because they didn't understand. You would think that, I don't know, Sandy, but you're an attorney, you're a learned person in that, but the average person would think, if I'm taking out a second mortgage, that they would be rolled into the first mortgage, right?
No. I mean, it depends. It depends on who you borrow from. But the fact is that what has been happening is that there have been these second mortgages that were taken out, many of them many years ago, and they've gone into default.
Yes.
People haven't been making payments on them, but but there was no effort to collect on them, no pressure on the homeowner to pay until the loan gets so bad that whoever holds the loan sells the loan to a collector, a bill collector. And what happens then, you know, someone will come along and buy someone's bad debts, and they'll say, I'll pay you 25 cents on the dollar for all those bad debts, and I'll go out and try and collect them. And the guy who's holding this bad debt, who made the second mortgage and has been lazy about trying to collect it, says, you know what, I'm going to take the 25 cents. So he sells the debt to somebody else, and that somebody else is Simon Legree. You know, he is going to pursue he's going to pull out all the stops to get that money back. And the first thing he's going to do is going to show up at your door and say, pay up this debt, or I'm going to take your house. And legally speaking, he's got a mortgage on the house. And unless you're in a position to pay up the debt, you are in a position where you might lose the house to this creditor who doesn't have a debt anywhere near the scale of the value of your house. And he's going to be in a position to take the house and sell it and get all of his money back on the loan.
So Sandy,
and you're going to be houseless.
So Sandy, that's occurring at a more alarming rate than I think anybody knows. And based on this article that I'm reading, so many people have fallen prey to that. So what I'm asking you is, if I'm the person who financed the second mortgage, Sandy, and why did I not try to get that mortgage paid on a monthly basis? Why did I just ignore it as a creditor? It's almost as if that was done intentionally to eventually wind up happening what happened there. If I'm the person who financed your second mortgage, Sandy, I put an investment there. Why would I not, from the beginning, expect to get my investment back? Why have I been silent on it all these decades?
Well, I'm not sure, but my suspicion is that these loans are loans that are of a relatively small scale that were made on a broad basis, and that the effort to collect them was viewed as not being worth it because that they were probably high interest loans. I mean, it is true that there's a whole grade of loans
business,
made
right?
today. Yes, that are made to relatively high-risk individuals that are made on an installment loans typically, that are made to buy, for instance, furniture or some such thing. And when the loan goes bad, there actually isn't much effort to collect other than to give the person a bad credit rating and to send them a couple of letters saying you're not paying your bills. And at that point, they forget about the debt until they turn it over to a bill collector some period later, who is going to is willing to take on the effort to collect those debts, which weren't worth the effort of the original lender, who was making out quite well because they expected to have, you know, if you make high risk loans, you might expect 15% of your loans to go bad. And you've already built that into your business plan, and you aren't going to spend a lot of money trying to collect it because you're making money on the rest of those loans to compensate you for that risk.
You know, Sandy, here's another thing that I know I've been caught up in. You know, you get these bills from the hospitals. And it says, well, you know, I may have had a surgery 15 years ago. And you get a bill that says you didn't pay this, $800, $900, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't want to ruin your credit. And so you get this bill, and they start making threats it's going to go to a debt collector. It's from 15 years ago. Your insurance company didn't pay it. And so people wind up paying those bills. I know I paid them. And then you find out that this is a scam that's been going on that the government is even aware of. And I even hear commercials saying, you know, these ghost bills that you're getting from hospitals, we're going to try to cut them out. how is it possible that those kind of things can happen?
Well, you know, the consumer lending market has always been a place that has been rife with abuse. Back there was a concept called holder in due course that's now an antique theory, but it, up until the 1970s, it prevailed. You'd buy a refrigerator from someone who sold refrigerators, and you would take out a loan from the person who sold you the refrigerator, and the refrigerator might be defective, and so you would stop making payments on that loan because that was the way you were buying this thing which was defective. And if the person who sold you the refrigerator still held your loan, then that was okay because you had a valid claim to offset your obligation to make the payment. But if that person who sold you the refrigerator sold that loan on to somebody else, and you now owed money to Chase Manhattan Bank rather than to Colder's Appliance, now Chase Manhattan Bank could require you to pay that loan regardless of whether the refrigerator worked or not. And that was a concept called holder in due course. And that was a problem. That was one of the early abuses that was solved in most states through changing the law about defenses and the holder in due course principle. But we had that same thing coming up with all kinds of consumer loans. And look at all the abuses with payday loans. Payday loans are an area of immense abuse. They don't make much effort to collect either, other than to put you into a serious credit problem.
So, Sandy, so regulations that are sometimes created to protect the consumers, lobbyists for those entities that are going to benefit push back against those regulations, and so the lawmakers who are supposed to be looking out for the best interests of the people who elected them, I'm just asking, then make a decision not to protect the citizen, and these laws are able to pass and get through, and the citizen thinks, well, there's got to be some common sense right here, and I'm right based on common sense, but law is not common sense, right?
Yeah, and the lobbyists usually are able to craft very subtle and seductive arguments to the lawmakers about how it is that if you change this law, we won't make these loans at all to these people. And so what you're really doing is depriving the people who need this money from their access to borrowed money, like, for instance, payday loans.
Right.
So, you know, the argument that the lobbyist will give is that these are poor people. They should be entitled to access borrowed money just like rich people. And what you're doing is you're taking away from them a source of money that they might terribly need. And so, you know, that's what happens. Lobbyists are employed to basically craft arguments along with, I suppose, political donations, which make their arguments even more persuasive, surprisingly enough. And they prevail over the real public needs.
You know, Sandy, I want to continue with a lesson, if you will, about law that those of us who, you know, as sacrificial lambs to it, you can give us a little more education on what we should be looking out for, especially now around this time of the year. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. The Barrister.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
equals Greg Bakhtin.
It is. It is.
Yeesh.
Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes. You've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Ample sunshine expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 47. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 33 tonight. Clear skies. Highs around 53 tomorrow. Bright sunshine expected. Upper 30s Sunday with a chance for scattered showers. Low 40s, partly cloudy Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
In a representative government?
Well, you know, they're buying it because they think the property is being sold for a dollar amount that's cheaper than what it's worth.
Right.
And so they're going to now try to make money. I suppose it's one of the fundamental premises of slumlords. Of course, that's how slumlording got started. Is you bought houses cheap and then you filled them with more people than should be living in it,
right,
and charged rent that made the house more valuable. I don't know. It's what goes on in the real estate market. That's what the real estate market is. It's always been filled with speculators. And in fact, Solomon Juneau and some of the earliest founders of Milwaukee were real estate speculators who came out here. So what does the government do about real estate speculators, people who buy homes? I mean, the person who's selling the home thinks they're getting the money they want for it, or they're getting forced out of it because it's been foreclosed and they're actually buying it from banks, right?
Right.
Take the money and whatever. The house goes up for auction and it gets sold.
But doesn't that help destroy communities?
Well, it certainly changes communities by having third-party ownership. You know, you end up with tenants rather than homeowners,
yeah,
and everyone understands that a tenant treats maybe a neighborhood and is a different type of participant in a neighborhood than a homeowner might be. So that clearly is a factor. And then the question is whether absentee owners like that will actually care for the premises and cause it to be improved in the same way that
that person or that entity could care less about the neighborhood and the community because they don't live there.
Right.
You know.
So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it's not a favorable result for a locality. And it's an unfavorable. The question is, what is it that a government can or should do about it? What kind of a restriction could you put in place? And it's difficult to fashion one other than one that relates to
so Sandy, this goes again to what we should be expecting from our government. Maybe we're expecting too much in certain areas, that the government doesn't have the ability to control certain things, and maybe we shouldn't be asking for the government to do that. You know, buyer beware is at the root of all those things, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, the problem is when you get the government trying to take control of the marketplace, you have to figure out what the reason is for it, and it has to be pretty compelling. And if you have, for instance, the government restricting who you can sell your house to,
we should be back on the air. I don't know why we're not back on the air. Connor, shouldn't we be back on the air?
You are?
We're on the air now?
Yeah, we came in.
Oh, we came in. I didn't know we came in.
Been, Well, we inadvertently covered a lot of issues there. Yeah. I'm glad they were all newsworthy and subject over the air.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. So anyway, you've been listening to what, you know, what Sandy and I are talking about, and you know, it is really we've got to learn the inner workings of things, because the marketplace you're talking about, Sandy, apparently the marketplace has more power than the government in certain entities.
Well, I mean, I think that the underlying organization, the architecture of America's socioeconomic political system is that the marketplace is the fundamental organism through which we all live and exist, and that the government is there only to do those things which the people require that has a high degree of importance. And so they're really, they work next to each other, but they, you know, it's not necessarily a question of one being more powerful than the other. I think the marketplace is what we live in. The government is what we have designed to try and structure the marketplace and to restrict it only in the ways that are necessary based on some serious thoughts and public policies.
So the marketplace and the government at times needs to regulate the marketplace so the marketplace won't take advantage of the citizens.
Yeah, absolutely. And the earliest, you know, Adam Smith, one of the earliest economists who discussed the marketplace and market economics, recognized right out of the chute that the government needs to regulate markets, because markets, unregulated markets, can be abusive. They can, people can exercise control in the marketplace that is reflective of power they have, or situations that exist outside of the market that are not affected by the market, like, for instance, the environment, or like social public health. Those kind of interests might not be reflected in the marketplace, and they're supposed to be reflected by government regulations.
So then here's a prime example. You said payday lending. So there's a usury law attached to citizens that we can't take advantage of other citizens and charge outlandish rates on loans that we can make maybe one citizen to another, but yet payday lending is not locked into usury like the citizens are. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, well, the whole principle of interest rates on installment loans.
Sandy, hold a thought. Al, we'll come to you after this break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Kisses for your lips. Yes, I got some honeysuckle chocolate dip and kisses full of love for you.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
3-2-1 shop. I'm Jackie Quinn with an AP News Minute. Now that the Thanksgiving dishes are put away, it's time to shop, even though Black Friday doesn't have the punch it used to. It was busy at Macy's in New York's Herald Square, reports our Rita Foley.
CEO Jeff Gannett says there's significantly more traffic on this Black Friday because shoppers feel more comfortable in crowds.
Many holiday travelers are heading home in Fort Lauderdale.
The plane was packed and overbooked, I think, so there are people giving up seats for other people.
Audio courtesy of WPLG-TV. Authorities in Virginia say the Walmart manager who opened fire late Tuesday left a note with grievances, saying that his co-workers mocked him. He purchased the gun used that morning. Elon Musk says that Twitter plans to relaunch its premium service, offering different colored check marks to accounts. Yesterday, Musk announced amnesty for those whose accounts had been suspended. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. It's true, for the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is obviously huge for a lot of people. But what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate when compared to health insurance. Double. There are 400,000 members now. They've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yeah, they can handle your bills, too. And here's the thing. If you join MediShare Complete right now, before November 30th, they will waive your new member fee. So you're going to save even more. MediShare is the gold standard in healthcare sharing. And joining right now makes a lot of sense. Again, pay no new member fees if you join now. And start enjoying great savings and a great way to handle your health care. Call now, 844-94-BIBLE. That's 844-94-BIBLE, 844.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnier with your headlines. Some prominent Wisconsin Republicans expressing skepticism about former President Trump's plan to run for president again in 2024. Former Speaker of the House Paul Ryan told ABC News, quote, "I want to win and we lose with Trump. It was really clear to us in 18, in 20, and now in 2022, unquote. Ryan, who criticized Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election and calls himself a never again Trumper, said those elections underscored declining support for conservatives in Wisconsin suburbs. WISC News reporting that Trump's lead decreased by nearly 7 percentage points in Ozaukee County. In 2016, Trump won Wisconsin by 27,000 votes. In 2020, he lost by about 21,000. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That's Fridays with Sandy Williams, my co-host. Sandy, are we on?
Yeah. We're on. Are we on now?
Yeah, okay. Connor, we on?
No, actually.
Okay. Right. Let's go to Al. Hey, Al, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for waiting. You say what?
Good morning.
Good morning.
What you all are talking about is very true, except I'm calling on behalf of Tom from L.A. The people are the government, and the problem we have is too much emphasis is put on national government and statewide government, but not enough on the local government, because a lot of the things you're talking about can be regulated, and there could be more emphasis on the local impact if people would start focusing on the aldermanic seats, the county board seats, and things that impact them on a local level, then move that to the next level. Does that make sense? Hello.
Sandy?
Well, yeah, I mean, some things can. The local, I mean, like, you know, the old hobbleth is all politics is local, and everything does get down ultimately to local issues. But the ability of the local government to regulate, for instance, payday lenders is pretty limited. They could possibly regulate
they can prevent them from coming in.
Don't they have to be licensed?
Well, they don't get licensed by counties or cities, however.
How can they move into a city and not have a license to perform that business? A grocery store would, my business or what have you. We have to have some type of agreement from the government to be able to operate within their space. And payday lenders, when they first started here, I was with the SDC board, and we had hearings on them that we passed information about their negativity and their high rates of interest to the city and county government, which limited the number of those stores that opened in the Milwaukee area. Senator Gary George was one of the owners of several of them.
Right. There's restrictions that can be imposed through zoning. I suppose it could be a bit like going to law school here. There's just the nature of the restrictions that can be imposed by a county or a city are different than the restrictions that can be imposed by the state. And so you have to find the right level of government to create the kind of restrictions you're looking for. But yes. For instance, a city could restrict the number of businesses of a certain type that are located in the city, depending upon the powers they've been given with respect to zoning.
Okay, all I'm saying is that we've been putting too much emphasis on national government and on statewide government without emphasizing and taking control of our local government, which can regulate all of it, in my opinion. I may be wrong, but that's the way I see it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for the call.
I think you might be right and wrong. Yeah. I do think that local government and the populace needs to spend far more effort and time focusing on local issues and getting the local government to do all that it can do and to analyze what is needed locally. For instance, if we really focused on local issues, one of the things we'd probably focus on would be child daycare. And we might begin to at least create the political movement that's necessary to get universal child daycare available as it should be all around. And that movement might well start through school districts. It could start in a variety of ways.
Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Hey, good morning, Bill. How are you? Thank you very much for the call. Thank you for waiting. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. You guys, I tell you what, you ought to charge for what you do.
Well,
you're not alienators. And let me get to a point. The previous caller, what he said had so much.
Hey, Bill, you must be on a.
And here's how I would look at it. If you are talking about payday lenders or payday loan, whatever you want to call them, they can be a detriment to the community. Now, if you're a community-minded community, you're going to say, we believe this kind of business is not advantageous for our community because the community not building.
Bill, you must be on the speakerphone.
To give you a quick conclusion.
Bill, are you on the speakerphone?
Yes, sir.
Can you get off the speakerphone?
Yeah, okay. I can take off.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, give me a second. I don't know if I can. I'm driving. Can you put up with it just one more minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm driving.
Okay, go ahead.
On what you talk about, Earl, is, you know, the care and concern for the people that don't have the help that you... Here's what I'm thinking. As we move forward, our midterm elections made a statement for democracy. Let's move forward and help these people. And if we can't do it through government, do it through our churches. These people can be helped. They're the ones that we really care about that don't have all the niceties that we have. And I believe moving...
Hey, Bill, we got to let you go because your phone, your phone is breaking up. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, thanks for waiting.
First, I want to ask Sandy a question. Sandy, why do you call it the abortion issue?
Well, I know your point here, and I was talking about it historically because that historically is what it was called, and I know we need to
call it either the woman's right to choose or the government's right to choose, because it's really government taking over a woman's right to choose, and I think we all know most women do not choose determination.
And that was actually the point I was making, that it's the government intervention that the abortion issue, as it was discussed, was as it was driven by the religious right, was really asking the government to intervene and to control women's choice.
I understand. I just want that to be out there, because we really lose a lot of voters when we make this just an abortion issue. It's not. It's about women being controlled by government or making the choice themselves. I just want to get that out there. Also, Sandy, you were talking about how we have to kind of find common ground with some of the Republicans and things like that. And what I find really appalling, and I find that I can't really find common ground when, they can't say the name of our party correctly by calling it the Democratic Party. Instead, they say the Democrat Party, right? So Ron Johnson constantly says the Democrat. That's not a way to be able to communicate with a person, is when you can't even respect them enough to, call them by the name of the actual party. You see that? You know what I mean?
So Tom, it's semantics. And
well, it is semantics, but that's what the Republicans win on, are semantics and messaging. So it's very important that we have to be really careful about that. You know what I mean? I'm just saying that I would love to be able to, because Sandy always says kind of meet them where they're at and all that kind of stuff with the Republicans. And I'm just saying I would love to. But, when they can't even have the respect, that'd be like me calling someone else by a different name. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just throwing that out there. And the other couple things is just for your own benefit, Sandy, transgender is the word, not transsexual, just so you know. In the gay community, it's LGBTQ+, but it's transgender. You had said transsexual before, and I know that might, get people's ears up. And then also the word tolerate, because myself as a gay man, I'm not here just to be tolerated. I'm here to be able to share my ideas and be able to have a dialogue, but not be tolerated. I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I'm just
I appreciate, because I do think that semantics is important, particularly as we are talking in areas of that reflect respect. I was using the word tolerance only because that's the term that is used in religious discussions about how it is that we are taught to be tolerant of other people's views and other people's thoughts. But you're right. People are entitled to more than being tolerated. They're entitled to being accepted. And acceptance is really the principle.
I think there's no question.
Thank you for that.
Tom, thank you very much for the call.
And Earl, I'm following you on Twitter now, so...
Oh. Okay, man.
Get on Twitter.
I forgot.
I'm one of your new followers. I told all my followers to follow you.
Incidentally, Tom, I thought that your 4-minute dialogue about social media was the best condensation and instructional piece I had heard about it, because I now feel like I understand it much better than I did before you described it. Because obviously,
Sandy, coming from you, I find that Coming from you, I find that as high praise. So thank you very much.
So Tom, I haven't even learned to master Facebook yet. So
don't mess with Facebook. Just go to Twitter. It's not as many characters, girl, and it's a lot easier.
Hey, I think Facebook is yesterday. My understanding is stupid as I am about this, I get the feeling that Facebook is yesterday's medium, and Twitter and TikTok are tomorrow's.
Oh, okay.
As long as Elon Musk doesn't destroy it in the next couple of days, it definitely will be continue to thrive. So let's just hope he doesn't destroy it.
Thank you very much for the call, Tom. As always, you know, Sandy, if there's so many different things as we've been talking about this last hour about the government's role, and I'm really. You know, this is the first time, Sandy, that I've heard about the marketplace. And, I mean, to the degree that the marketplace has this prominent role in our lives. I mean, you know, I've never heard that before.
Well, the marketplace is the sea that we live in. You know, it's we're in a terrarium, and the marketplace is where we live, and the government is what we create to try and structure the marketplace so that it works better. But it's the marketplace that we're fine tuning. It's not the government that we're trying to tune up with the marketplace. It's just the opposite.
So, but that tells me, and maybe I'm interpreting it the wrong way, Sandy, is that marketplace meaning business? Is it safe to say that?
Marketplace is all of the individuals, is all of us individually. And as we operate in businesses, it's all of us with acting in our own individual capacities. That's the marketplace. And it's the fundamental premise upon which freedom and freedom of action was created. It was really the Renaissance was the result of, in many respects, the creation of markets, the marketplace for goods and services that allowed people to begin to act very independently from government and to become independent entities. And so it's really like been a fundamental ideological and sociological change and shift that is quite fundamental.
So the marketplace, and excuse me for being so ill, prepared or understanding what we're talking about here. But when you talk about the marketplace, seems to me you said all of us as individuals are in that marketplace. But then some of us have branched out from being individuals in the marketplace to business owners in the marketplace. And right. The business owner is in a position that gives him or her more control over the individuals who are in that marketplace. Is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah, different entities in that marketplace might have different levels of economic power.
Hold the thought, because, this is great information. Got to go to a break, 844-967-2789. We'll be back.
My husband said to give our house more curb appeal, so I started painting. Then I went on Google and looked up the meaning of curb appeal. It said to make it more nicer. So I called Replacement Window Center, and they put in new replacement windows.
Get free installation and 0% financing for 18 months. Free installation and 0% financing. Hurry, call now.
Replacement Window Center. Our name says it all.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. He sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself.
For many military veteran caregivers, their caregiving journey starts earlier in life and lasts longer. Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Ample sunshine expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 47. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 33 tonight. Clear skies. Highs around 53 tomorrow. Bright sunshine expected. Upper 30s Sunday with a chance for scattered showers. Low 40s, partly cloudy Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
All right. Welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday, and that means Friday's with Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, I'm asking you all these questions because I didn't know any of those things. I didn't know that that was the way our government basically is set up. You know, I'm sure I'm not alone in that assessment. And so what you're saying is valuable to us who now see government in a different role. I never thought for once that, you know, that that business climate or the marketplace is the real driver of our government, of our country. Can't hear you.
Places where,
go ahead.
The marketplace is where everything gets generated, right? That's where business is conducted. That's where the money is developed to pay taxes back to the government to support the government. The government is basically there to make sure that the marketplace works. So, for instance, if there was only one employer in the marketplace, you'd have to regulate that employer because you and I couldn't quit our job because we have no place else to work. We'd get exploited terribly. But if there are many, many, many employers in the marketplace, and we're free to go and work someplace else tomorrow if we aren't being treated well at our job today, then presumably the marketplace is going to cause our employer to treat us well enough so that he does, so he can keep his workers. So you don't need as many restrictions on the workplace in that circumstance as you do with large employers who have market, so-called market power. And so government is basically there to try and restrict the extent to which anybody in a marketplace, anything in a marketplace, might have power that would restrict the choice of the individuals operating in the marketplace.
Which is,
if, for instance, if you want to buy a car, if there's only one manufacturer making cars, there'll be no competition on the price for that car, and you'll have to pay a very high price. If there are 15 automobile manufacturers and you can go and pick between them, they're going to have to compete with one another for your business, and there's less need for the government to regulate those people because competition is going to keep them tuned up to providing you what you want as a buyer in the marketplace. So, I mean, those are gross examples, but if a marketplace involves everybody having many choices about everything they do, there's less need for government control than in the circumstance in which choices are narrowed by the circumstances.
Well,
in the market.
which is why they always use the verbiage the free market, and that the market should be less regulated than it is, right? Yeah, I mean,
well, I mean, a free market, I think another word would be a perfect market, where there's so many competitors providing the services and so many competitors pursuing you as a worker that the competition keeps everything tuned up to the point where it's delivering what you want. But the fact is that very few markets are perfect, and very few markets, therefore, don't require some form of regulation. Furthermore, markets aren't going to take care of things like environmental effects. You know, if you buy a car, it's going to spew out greenhouse gas, and you as the buyer might not care about greenhouse gas, but then your neighbors all over might care about it. So they want to restrict your capacity to buy something that's going to put out greenhouse gas.
So, Sandy, that model of the marketplace is the same model all over the world? I mean, there's a marketplace, well,
the marketplace is one system of organization, one for the political economic environment in which you live. Another one would be complete socialism, and in that circumstance, right, the government would own everything, right?
Yeah.
So those are and then there's all communism, sorts of degrees, and, all yeah. sorts of degrees in between.
So, I mean, wow, it really does kind of open my eyes then to why things are set up in the manner that they're set up then. Like a prime example is in Milwaukee, I've seen gas as low as $3.10 a gallon now in the central city. And mm-hmm. well, but I also see it at $3.80 in the same area. How can it be that one place it's $3.10 and another place is $3.80? Isn't that regulated?
No, it's not regulated, and that's because there's competition. You can drive your car to the other gas station if you want to take the trouble.
If you know that if you know that the prices have dropped down.
Right. And of course you can buy telephone apps that will keep you clued into that kind of stuff too. I mean, yeah, the markets don't work perfectly, but where there is competition, there can be differentials like that. And presumably the marketplace is not performing as well as it should, because everyone ought to be driving their car to the cheaper gas station if it doesn't take more gasoline or time to get there.
So because I also know that if there's two service stations across the street from one another, they make sure that their prices are the exact amount. That's the marketplace, right?
That's the marketplace. And what they don't want to allow, if you're going to regulate the marketplace, those people can't sit down at lunch and decide what their price is going to be. They have to reach those price decisions independent from one another, and then it's okay.
All right. So, I mean, that was, you know, we got to do that a little bit more, Sandy.
That was Economics 1.
Well, that's where I needed to start. But thank you as always, my friend. Really, really good talking to you as always. Have a great weekend. Everybody have a great weekend. It's going to be in the 20s. If we just hang on a little while longer. Just hang on. You know, Sandy, I got good news. The windows are going to be up next Wednesday.
I'll be there Monday. I'll come dressed warmly.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Connor. Thank everybody who made the show go. Dress safe and warm. Be safe. I'll be back on Monday. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
Hi, it's Don Brown, host of This Week in Waukesha, inviting you to catch our coverage of this year's 2022 Waukesha Christmas Parade, Sunday, December 4th. The coverage starts at 3, the parade starts at 4. We'll be live in front of the Walk Radio studios talking to the marchers, the participants, the fans, and all the people that make this parade in this community a very special place. Waukesha Christmas Parade, covered here on Walk Radio 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.